This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The first night, I thought, okay, they fought back. A lot went wrong, and they lost by one run. Okay.
But last night, there was no fight.
No, there really wasn't, and it was basically like, okay, we're accepting this. Don't like it. So, yeah, I don't feel good about this team as much as I did after game one. I'm not going to write them off because I've seen how resilient they've been all year long. But at some point, man, you've got to punch those guys in the mouth. And until they do, then it's hard to have much faith in them.
I know everybody thinks that I'm always betting against the Texans. This week, one of my favorite sides is the Texans. The Raiders don't have a pass rush. I can't imagine why. You know, it sure would be nice to have a Khalil Mack type.
But when you give that guy time.
But, we've seen over the last few weeks, when Deshaun's had time, like he did against Atlanta, like he did against Kansas City, he will eat.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to text the show. You can also get us on Facebook. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is The Real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at The Producer Nick, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Miss the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. You also miss it. We're at Twin Peaks on Kirby and 59. And 59 is not really moving, so get off 59 and come to Twin Peaks.
What else is new, Fred? 59's not really moving.
Yeah, well, that's why you guys listen, is because you're stuck in traffic. But it's better to come out here and drink and see the scenic views and have a good time.
Yeah.
Somebody says, AJ, it's fine for you to feel the way, but it is the definition of fair weather. Whichever way the wind blows, players from team to team is just that. And admit that, then it's okay.
It's not fair weather because I'm not a fan.
Well,
I'm not a fair weather fan. I like teams that I like to watch. That's like saying...
I just say this? When did fair weather... Why is fair weather fan a bad word? Fair weather fans follow you when you do something. They actually put pressure on you. They're not... Yeah, Texans fans aren't fair weather because they sell out every game. What if you didn't sell out every game when they weren't playing well?
Yeah, that's a really odd thing. I mean, that's like saying I'm a Godfather fan, but not Godfather 3. Does that make me a fair weather fan because I didn't like Godfather 3?
No, that makes you a normal human being.
Or does that just mean
that show sucked?
There was some that I liked, and then I didn't like the last one. I mean, it's the same thing. There's been Rocket teams that I loved, but... The thing that this fair weather fan thing, and I always say this, I always use this as my argument or my defense to that, is every Rockets fan right now will say how much they hate the Mavericks. And then if the Rockets and Mavericks traded rosters tomorrow, you would be cheering for all these Mavericks fans and calling all the Rockets fan or all the Rockets players, the former Rockets players that are now Mavericks, a bunch of douchebags. It's Chandler Parsons is the best example.
Yeah, he is. All right. Here's a guy who is.
Not a douchebag.
Not at all. And I think that's – he probably should have that in his Twitter.
Yeah, Brad. Not a douchebag power.
Yeah, he's a lead college football and basketball analyst for pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. And he is one of the many geniuses at pregame, certainly the biggest genius when it comes to college football. What's going on, Mr. Powers?
How you guys doing on this fine Thursday?
We're at Twin Peaks, which I don't know if you guys have them in
Vegas.
Oh, there you
go. Yeah, we got them. Well aware.
So we're having a good old time here, man.
I bet.
And you're probably stuck in the office with RJ or Fezzik.
we have much better views than you do.
Yeah, we've got scenic views today. Well, let's get into it. I mean, first of all, let's talk about, last week, obviously, your favorite play, I think, was Oklahoma State. And... Uh-huh. I made the mistake. You and Fred both were really high on that play. I was neutral on it, and I let myself get talked into playing it because of you guys. Do you ever find that happening to you? I mean, not that I'm blaming you guys. I'm blaming myself for letting it happen to me.
But, he is blaming us. It's okay.
But do you ever find that happening to you? You hear especially because you're in Vegas. Do you hear enough people that you respect talking about a game that you're neutral on and find yourself being talked into it?
Yeah, it probably happened to me more when I first got here several years ago. Just out of the respect for all the people I've looked up to. I was an up-and-comer handicapper, but it doesn't happen as much now, but it still certainly happens. And I know how you are now, AJ. Whenever you lose, it's somebody else's fault. It's my fault. Oklahoma State. It's yours.
My fault for taking Oklahoma. Is my whole point.
Right.
It's my fault for blindly following people that I respect's opinion.
I'm sorry. I had such a strong opinion that I swayed you into that pick, AJ.
Well, it wasn't just you. Trust me, Fred. Fred is also.
I love that play, and it didn't work out. So, oh well.
Well, let's get into some of the games this week. Let's start with some of the premium games, as they'll say. Well, you know what? Let's start with your boys, Notre Dame and Michigan. I feel like this matchup is a solid one for Michigan, being a more of a physical team. And Notre Dame, I don't know if they've got the top-end speed outside to really punish Michigan. But, again, it's going to boil down to, can Michigan move the ball? What do you think of this matchup, and what do you think of the line movement that we've seen so far with it?
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, a little bit worried about the line movement. The early line movement, no, I got it. There's a lot of anti-Michigan sentiment in the marketplace. But the fact that it went from Michigan -1 to Notre Dame -1 when the limits here in town in Vegas opened up yesterday and today, that worries me more than anything. But matchup-wise, I'll say this. At least for Michigan the last couple years, the teams that have been able to take advantage of that Michigan defense have had a lot of speed on the outside. Ohio State last year with all those crossing patterns, taking it coast to coast the distance. Even last week, a couple of times that Michigan broke down defensively, it's Penn State throwing over the top to one of the fastest players in college football, in KJ Hamler. Notre Dame doesn't have that guy this year. They had a couple of good guys last year. They haven't needed them outside of the Georgia game, but let's look at that Georgia game. We gave Notre Dame a big thumbs up after that performance. Well, after what we've seen from Georgia the last couple games, maybe that wasn't that great of a loss for the Irish. The fact that Michigan's now catching a point at home does concern me a little bit, but I'm still going to take the Wolverines here. Jim Harbaugh 28-0 at home when he's not playing Michigan State and Ohio State.
Why don't you stick to what you know?
Well, it sounds like RJ's in the house.
He's here.
Speaking of Ohio State, I was actually disappointed that Wisconsin lost last week because I was looking to bet Ohio State this weekend, and now I don't know that we're getting as sweet of a number as we would have gotten otherwise. Ohio State -14.5 against the now blemished Wisconsin Badgers. I tend to think Wisconsin's going to have a hard time keeping up with Ohio State, who I think might be the best team in the country. What do you think of that matchup? What is 14.5 too much for you?
Yeah, it's too much for me to really get significantly involved. I'd still lean with Ohio State, but the fact it's through that key number 14 concerns me. And you're right. I mean, heck, forget Wisconsin coming up so short against the spread. If Wisconsin would have won the game last week by a point, this line's probably 12.5-ish.
Yep.
The fact that they actually lost the game, I mean, that's 2 points through that key 14 number alone. The worry for me is, Michigan into the Ohio State game last year was #1 in the country in so many defensive statistics, just like Wisconsin is coming into this game. And what happened in that Michigan-Ohio State game? It was all about the Jimmies and the Joes, Ohio State running by a relatively slow defense. I think that could be the case here. And the question, RJ brought this up on Straight Out of Vegas today. What do you need heading into a big game against a team like Ohio State? You need confidence. Don't you think your confidence is shaking a little bit? The fact that you just lost as a 30-point favorite last week? Yeah, I'm leaning with the Buckeyes here.
Well, we don't really know what Wisconsin looks like when they're not playing with a lead, because they still haven't trailed in a game this year with time on the clock. So I don't know that their offense is built to come from behind, and Ohio State is going to score early and often.
Yeah, and to me, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that's where I think you get involved in game here, where I think you can get some value. It's to me, the whole key to the game is going to be how it starts. Like you just mentioned, Wisconsin cannot play from behind. If they get behind early 7-0, 10-0, I don't like Wisconsin throwing from behind. I think it only gets worse from them in that instance. But if they're grinding out, if they are able to make some stops defensively, if they're able to have some success running the football against Ohio State, then I think Wisconsin can be in it till the very end. But again, guys, I have my doubts.
This LSU-Auburn game interests me just from the fact that Auburn's looking at really the first real offense that they've seen all year, and everybody talks about Auburn's defense and how good it is. This is by far the best offense they'll see. And LSU's offense hasn't really seen a great defense yet, and this will be their first real test. Who do you think gets the better of it, and what do you think of that line at 10.5?
You know, this isn't like me. I think I've taken more bigger favorites in these big games than any other prior year, and to me, LSU, there's been a fundamental change, and that fundamental change is LSU's offense. They bring in Joe Brady, the hotshot young coordinator, 30 years old from the Saints, and that LSU offense is unlike anything we've seen, at least from LSU's perspective, in almost the last decade or so. Led by Joe Burrow, the guy that was 200-1 to win the Heisman, now the Heisman favorite. And the thing I like about LSU is they keep the foot on the gas pedal no matter who they're playing this year, no matter what the score of the game is. And the fact that they put up 42 points in 48 plays against, I thought, a really good Florida defense, I think Florida in that game was able to go score for score at least early, and that's because Florida almost played it until the very end a perfect game offensively. That's not going to be the case with Bo Nix, the Auburn quarterback. They can't go score for score. I'm on LSU here, minus the 10.5.
Game here in town tonight, SMU against UH, and I don't know who's going to start at quarterback for UH. If it's Logan Holgorsen, then I don't think 12.5 is enough for SMU. Do you have any opinions on that one?
You know, just a lean here on Houston in tonight's game. And what I'm starting to see now in the marketplace, I think you're starting to pay a premium on SMU. SMU, I've upgraded along with Ohio State. Those are the two biggest upgrades I've had on two teams in my power ranks since the start of the season. And now you got an SMU team that still has that zero in the loss column. Now SMU's ranked, what, 16th in the country? The fact that it's an isolated game, what would what we call here in Vegas, RJ coined it, the Freddie Fanny Pack walking down Fremont Street. If he's going to get involved in tonight's game, he's going to want to bet SMU. And to me, I've seen it as far as the disparity between my power ratings. SMU's expensive tonight. That's why I'm leaning with Houston.
One game I absolutely love is Temple at home getting 10.5 against Central Florida. Temple has basically every Temple game this season, the home team is covered, and they're just a completely different team at home. Tell me why I'm wrong about that one.
Yeah, I don't think you are. The only worry I'd have, if you're looking at last week's box score for Central Florida, you're going to see 41-28 against East Carolina as a near 5-touchdown favorite. What went wrong? I think UCF got bored. Everything came easy to them early. They're up 35-3 in the second quarter and really went through the motions the rest of that game. And I'll say this. You know, Temple really struggled with SMU last week with the speed and handling that spread, you know, offense. And, you know, Central Florida runs a similar type of offense. That would be my concern here, but I'm with you guys. Getting double digits at home is way too much. I'm on Temple.
Brad Powers is our guest. Another game in state that's kind of interesting. Texas, a 1.5-point favorite at TCU. Man, TCU, have you downgraded them much from where they were at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 points. And I really wasn't that high on TCU like, you know, other people out there in the marketplace coming into the season. I just didn't see it. I looked over the roster, and you know, how is this a surprise team, a team capable of 9-10 wins? Just didn't see it. I thought they were average, 6-7 wins, and they've even disappointed from that perspective. And I'll just be honest, as far as this game goes, this is going to sound really square. But to me, it's just a one-factor handicap. The spread right now says it's going to be a game that goes down to the wire. Texas is about a 1.5-point favorite. So it's going to, you know, at least right now, good chance, or at least greater than 50% chance, this game's going to come down to the wire, a couple final possessions. Who would you rather have? Sam Ehlinger, Texas quarterback, who just led a game-winning drive last week, or a true freshman quarterback? I'll let you guys answer that, and then, you know, the obvious answer is where I'm going. I'm going with Texas.
One of my favorite games, just because of the quality of competition or lack thereof, UMass and UConn.
Oh, this is my favorite.
I'm sure you've been asked about this game 26 times this week. But
10-point home dog. You got to take that, right?
I'm taking it.
You're crazy.
I am. I'm taking it. And here's why. Obviously, you got two of the worst teams in the entire country here. I got Connecticut, number 128 in my power ratings. UMass dead last. And I had UMass, number 130, entering the season. I've still downgraded Massachusetts about 10 points. But how in the world are you laying 10 on the road with a Connecticut team that hasn't laid 10 on the road in more than a decade? And, oh, yeah, by the way, how is Connecticut as a favorite? 1-19 against the spread. Their last 20 times they've been a favorite. I'm not laying double digits here against UMass. I know they're the worst team in the country, but even though they're the worst team in the country, I think they're underrated, at least as far as this spread goes.
What I keep telling everybody about UMass, you get 85 college scholarships for football in Division I. UMass has 56 players on scholarship. There's a reason they are that bad. It's almost like they're not even playing at the same level as some of these other teams. So I think that's why people – I don't know if there's a bottom for UMass. And I know that they won a game, which is kind of crazy. But when you only have 56 scholarship kids, and it's not like we're talking about Alabama's best 56. We're talking about 56 kids who, you know, probably passed on, you know, FCS scholarships to play at UMass. I don't know that you can ever be competitive.
Yeah, but, you know, they at home a couple weeks ago, they're playing the number 129 team. They're catching more than a touchdown at home. They beat Akron. I mean, what's the big difference here? And, in fact, Massachusetts off a bye. And if you think the kids are going to give one good effort this season, wouldn't it be against a neighboring state there in the region? You know, a lot of these kids probably couldn't get into Connecticut. So the fact that I think they're going to be a little bit motivated here.
Maybe you're right. Let me ask you about one more game I'm interested in, this Michigan State-Penn State matchup. I feel like I want to bet Michigan State. I hate betting Michigan State because they are so inept offensively, and it just feels like it's going to end up being a rock fight game, and I've got to count on Michigan State to get a couple scores, which I don't know if I can do based on what we've seen out of them so far this season. My lean is Michigan State, but I know Penn State is stout defensively. What do you see there, and what do you think of the number at six and a half?
No, I like Michigan State here. But let's talk Penn State first. Generally speaking, I think Penn State's overrated. I think they're up to eight, or actually number six now in the AP poll. I have a number 10 in my power ratings. And just look at the last couple of games. Kudos, Penn State just won two big primetime games against Iowa and Michigan. You dive into the box scores, outgained by 64 yards against Iowa. Outgained by well more than 100 yards last week. A game that, I'll tell you, when it was 21-0, I hate saying this, but I was pretty confident in my Penn State minus 7.5 pick at that point.
Yeah,
I thought Michigan would roll over and die there. The last 40 minutes of the game, I thought Michigan was clearly the superior team. That would worry me if I'm looking to back Penn State here. I'm not. On top of it, hey, you just came off of two big physical games, went down to the final minute, and you're taking on a Michigan State team off a bye. I don't think the situational spot's that great for Penn State. Add it up, I'm on Sparty here.
Another game I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on, because it's one of those where there's a high spread and a low total, and it's California and Utah. Utah's a 21-point favorite, but the total's only 36.5.
You haven't seen Devin Monster play, that's why.
No, but I mean,
he's not going to play. They're down to a third-string guy.
Yeah, like a walk-on guy. I mean, it's disastrous. Do you think Utah can cover that number, even though it is supposed to be a low-scoring game?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys asked me about this game, because I did a little digging. Because, I mean, when is the last time in college football you had more than a three-touchdown favorite and a total sitting here right around 37? It's only happened one other time in college football in the last 17 years. Back in 2006, Georgia was a 27-point favorite against Colorado. The total was 36.5. I would absolutely love if I could walk up to a window and bet California plus the 21.5 and also under 36.5 in this game. But I'm sure they're not going to allow me. To me, it's dog or nothing.
Well, didn't you say that about Utah last week with Arizona State?
I did, and yeah.
You scoffed at me because I said I liked Utah. Yeah. You scoffed. Come on, Brad.
I'm sorry again, AJ. I talked you off another winner.
No, yeah, I actually won with that one anyway. Don't apologize for that one. That's Brad Powers from pregame.com. At Brad Powers 7 on Twitter, the mystery 7 of Brad Powers. We'll never know. But college.
That's how many free throw shooting championships he won.
That might be true. College hoops coming up soon. Coming up soon, Brad. Looking forward to doing that pod again, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Loved doing it last year with you. Look forward to doing it this year with you, AJ.
All right, and I guess we'll hopefully talk to you tomorrow for the NFL segment with RJ.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, man. That's Brad Powers from pregame.com, pregame.com.
All right. At Brad Powers 7, and if you're not following him.
And just for
you're
emphasis.
Betting on college football and not following him.
And just to be, you know, I don't want to make RJ mad. At RJ in Vegas. At RJ in Vegas.
Pregame.com.
Pregame.com. My man, RJ. All right. I got to tell you about my computer career. And how about this chick, Anna, who back in May worked at Walmart. And she heard a commercial that changed her life. And I don't mean to boast, but it was probably my commercial that she heard. My commercial about my computer career. And now, look at her. 4 months later, Anna started her IT career. Guess who hired her? Another My Computer Career graduate. Guys, don't be afraid of the future. Be a part of it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. And you could be on your way to your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months, even with no experience or training. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And then they're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation today. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. If you're looking for a place where you can come out, catch all the games tonight, catch all the scenic views, get you some food, it's all good. Twin Peaks, right off Kirby in 59. And then on the Texas Jaguars game in London, they're going to be opening at 8 a.m. They're going to have the UFC card the night before.
Just spend the night in the parking lot.
And starting tomorrow, they're going to have the their Halloween party begins.
And leather and lace Halloween party.
You can't beat that. All right, let's go to our man, Rafael Esparza.
Rafael.
My bookie. And we'll start with the game tonight. Rafael, Vikings, now I'm seeing 16.5 on my bookie. Where's the money going, and what's your opinion on that one?
The money has actually came back a little bit on Washington because we had 17 up earlier this afternoon. So some money coming in on Washington. I don't know who's betting Washington. I guess maybe they just want to spend money and don't care about the return. But some money is coming on the Redskins. The total is getting a lot of playback, too. It opened up around 43. It's been down to 42. There are some 41.5. I still think it's going to go a dead under. I don't see Redskins scoring that many points. I think Minnesota wins, but this goes to under.
Game I really like on Sunday is I like the Bucs getting 2.5 at Tennessee. It's a team that had to travel all over the place, West Coast and then to London, and now's had a week off. Tennessee is just not that impressive. Tell me if I'm wrong on that one.
Well, you're right on with the wise guys. The wise guys jumped all over Tampa when this number came out, and I think that travel plan, you said, I wish I had their Southwest points as Tennessee did, because they have a lot of them, but yeah. Tampa Bay is probably going to be the right side to play, even though they've only covered two out of their first six games this year. That's a tight one, but I think Tampa Bay plus the points is the best bet on there.
The Texans play the Raiders here. I'm seeing -7 now on the Texans. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, and it would not be shocked if it moves off of 7-2, maybe 7.5 and all that, because they're going to be a popular parlay and teaser bet to Houston. Texans, people like that, but they lost last week. That's not a bad loss going to Indianapolis because the Colts team are the second best team in the AFC, I feel. But I can guarantee you people are going to be teasing that 7 to get pick them against Oakland. So hurry up and jump on that 7 because you won't see 7 by kickoff.
Another game I find interesting, the Seahawks line has moved quite a bit against the Falcons. Is that just uncertainty over Matt Ryan? Why has that line moved so much?
Yeah, it's just the uncertainty of Matt Ryan. That tells me that he's probably not going to play, or he's not that healthy to put 6.5. Because if he was playing and healthy, the Seahawks would be a 3.5-point favorite, not a 6.5-point favorite. So that just tells me that either he's not going to play or he's not even close to 110%.
Sunday night game, Chiefs getting points at home. It's down to 3.5 now. And reports that they're not necessarily ruling out Patrick Mahomes. Now, I don't know how much of a difference a hobbled Mahomes is versus Matt Moore. Kind of like the Chiefs here. Tell me why I'm on the wrong end of that.
I think you are, because last time we saw Kansas City at home, Houston, you guys beat them 31-24, and the Colts beat them 19-3. I think they lose three straight at home with Matt Moore or with Holmes, because even if Holmes plays, he's not going to be healthy. He's not going to be able to run around like he does. Green Bay, I think they win four straight. I'm impressed with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is throwing to touchdowns to guys that were on the XFL list that could have been drafted by their league. It's just amazing what Aaron Rodgers is doing.
One more to ask you about. The 49ers continue to beat teams. They're 5.5-point favorites. Of course, last week they didn't cover, scored a whopping 9. But I think this Panthers team is better than people think. What do you think of that spread?
I like the Panthers straight up to win, because I'm sorry, I know the 49ers have not tasted an L yet, but let's face it, look at their schedule. They beat Washington, they beat the Browns, they beat Pittsburgh, they beat Cincinnati, they beat Tampa. They have not faced a tough schedule. I haven't seen New England, Houston, Indy, New Orleans on that schedule. There's a bunch of cupcakes. Give me Carolina. They win 5 straight, and Cam Newton holds the clipboard all season long. He might be a Chicago Bear next year.
All right, that's Rafael Esparza, my bookie. You can follow him on Twitter at VSIDocSports. Joins us every week. Rafael, appreciate the insight, sir, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Take it easy, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Good luck. Not liking our Chiefs play.
Well, that's all right.
It's okay, yeah. I think there's it's okay to have a difference of opinion.
That's right.
I don't want everybody on it. You know, that would suck. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And just a reminder, come out and see us at Twin Peaks tonight. The late hits returns, right?
Yes, late hits and Hall of Fame tonight.
Good, good. Cause those
late hits, they got you know Patrick, he's going to be talking a lot of baseball tonight.
Is he back?
He is back.
Okay.
Back in the saddle.
Good.
With
good.
Jason Brad.
I know he's been on the IR.
Yeah, the IL we call it.
Well, I like to call it the IR. But
designated to return.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so cool. We have that and the Hall of Fame for those of you who have been missing those shows. Since we have no game tonight. Well, we have
You
games.
Have no game.
We have games tonight.
Nick has game. I've got game. I got game. He got game. Where's the game? Inside the game. No. No?
No. Nothing. Nothing. Crickets. Crickets. Why you got to go there? I know I have no game.
No. That's a song, Fred.
Oh. Okay.
No. You're the player's player. Everybody knows that.
No. No, I'm not. But, in fact, I got nothing. I used to have game.
When?
Oh, last week.
Okay, well.
Not anymore. I got nothing now. All right, man, there's a bunch of stuff that we aren't going to get to today, which is unfortunate. But I wanted to throw this story out real quick. A little non-sportsy thing.
Okay.
Been sportsing around a little bit.
We've been pretty sportsy.
How are you with chocolate chip cookies?
I miss them.
Yeah, I don't. I can't eat sweets for the most part. And this probably makes
chocolate
sense.
Chip cookie is, I mean, when done well, is one of the great cookies.
It is. I think it's the best.
I'm a snickerdoodle man.
Okay.
That cinnamon sugar combo is.
I do like that,
especially
too.
When it's a little gooey. I like that.
Yeah.
But chocolate chip
cookies can't be hard.
Chocolate chip is strong. What I don't like is when you get tricked into thinking you're eating a chocolate chip, but it's really oatmeal raisin.
Ooh.
I don't like that.
No, that's a fail.
Don't put raisins in cookies.
Well, apparently there's been a study done.
Okay.
And according...
By Harvard? MIT?
Probably. Yeah, it's probably an MIT study. Chocolate chip cookies are just as addictive as cocaine. According to the study.
Okay.
Which it doesn't tell me where the study came from, which kind of sucks. But, no, sorry, University of Bordeaux in France.
Oh, okay.
They have determined that all the combined ingredients that make chocolate chip cookies awesome has the same addictive response in our brains as cocaine. So Does that mean I need to go snort a chip? Like pull the chip off and snort it?
I don't know.
It says, available evidence in humans shows that sugar and sweetness can induce reward and craving that are comparable in magnitude to those induced by addictive drugs.
I mean, it's sugar. Sugar is an addictive drug.
Yeah. Well, it says, although this evidence is limited by the inherent difficulty of comparing different types of rewards and psychological experience in humans, it nevertheless is supported by their recent experimental research.
I'm not going to lie.
On lab rats.
Look, cocaine is more fun than cookies, probably.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't know because I've never actually done coke.
Yeah, me neither. So
no, I really have never done it. That's not a joke.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, let's just move on.
No,
I'm just presuming that coke is more fun than cookies. I don't know for a fact, but it just seems like it'd be more fun.
I've been pretty honest about this my whole life. I've never done anything beyond weed.
Hmm.
I mean, other than
never tempted?
No. I've been offered, but it just was never for me.
Huh. Well, how do you know it's not for you?
Well, because I know my personality and I know where it would go.
You're like the dare guy. I like that.
Well, I just, that's why I don't, I've never done it and really have no interest in doing it.
You're straight edge. Done with drinking, done with weed?
No, wait a minute.
No. Okay.
No, I'm on record as like, although I haven't really been doing much lately, but I enjoy weed. I certainly enjoy drinking.
Good news, Fred.
Yes.
It looks like it won't be long until SMU's on the board.
Why is that?
They're moving the ball down the field at a very, very, very strong pace.
Well, that's good news for your wager. It's not good news for those of us who'd like to see UH not suck. So
wait, what is that you?
Well, yeah. I kind of want them to.
They've already given up on the season. You can't give up on it, too?
Well, no. I'm still going to root
just redshirt as a fan.
I can't do that. I did that when Kendall Browse was here.
Yeah, but that was their fault. This one, you can just – everyone's allowed to take a year off. If you're a fan, you're allowed to take a year off this year. If the players can do it, the fans can do it. I recommend all fans redshirt this season. Come back next season stronger, better, and more excited.
They have one thing about next year. They've got like 5 transfers, including a 5-star defensive lineman from Alabama.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a grad transfer?
No. I mean, there's grad transfers would be able to play this year.
Oh. Okay.
Guys who have to sit out a year.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the reasons why they're really high on next season's team is defensively.
What, are they cheating? How are they getting these guys?
They all transferred in.
I'm just saying, Holgorsen didn't get 5-star guys at West Virginia. Now he's getting them at...
He got one. Okay, let's not act like he got 10 5-star guys, but he got some pretty good players.
All right.
So.
What do we have here, Aaron? TGS. And, guys, do you know how much you're paying for your homeowner's insurance? I know I didn't, and I checked, and then I sent a text to TGS, and I found out, man, I'm paying way, way, way too much. And TGS will fix that for you in a hurry. It's so simple. Grab your smartphone, text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back with that. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds, just like that. So, guys, it can save you money. Why would you not do it? The average customer this year saving over $870 on home insurance. Why not check it out, see if they can save you some money? And you don't need to wait for your renewal because guess what? They take care of the back end. You can free your mind and just sit back and start raking in the cash. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your new home insurance quote. Save big today.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Twin Peaks on Kirby. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment to go from Twin Peaks, Kirby in 59. And SMU did not score. They failed on fourth down.
Got to the one and got stopped.
Yes.
Womp, womp.
Well, I either want to.
They should have had some defensive guys take a redshirt year. Thanks a lot, yeah, Dana.
Well, it's one stop. Let's not
Let's not go bleep.
Let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet. All right, we got a little hopping on Hollywood.
Yeah, we do, man. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees were out this last week. Unfortunately, after 1 year, I don't know if they're eligible to get back on later, but Rage Against the Machine is off the list, which I still don't understand why Rage Against the Machine wasn't like a first ballot Hall of Fame Rock and Roll Hall
agree.
Of Fame.
I agree 100%, as you know.
So here's the complete list of 2020 nominees, and I think they narrowed this down to five in January. Pat Benatar, Dave Matthews Band, New Edition, Depeche Mode.
No.
The Doobie Brothers, which I'm surprised they're not already
in. Yeah, that's I would vote for them.
Whitney Houston.
Okay.
Judas Priest.
That's one of my all-time favorites.
Kraftwerk. MC5. Motorhead. Nine Inch Nails. That seems like a lock.
Yeah.
Notorious B.I.G., which once they started putting rappers in, he's going to be in first ballot,
yeah,
my guess.
Yeah, it should be, right?
Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Todd Rundgren.
Chaka Khan, actually.
Soundgarden.
Oh, you got to put Soundgarden.
I would think so. T-Rex and Thin Lizzy.
I like Thin Lizzy, too. Now, my list on it, how many do you get?
You get five.
Okay. I would go Doobie Brothers, Judas Priest. You have to put Notorious since that's what they're doing. Soundgarden, Thin Lizzy.
Okay. I'll go Soundgarden, Biggie, Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nine Inch Nails I would probably put ahead of. I think I'd take them ahead of Thin Lizzy now that I think about it.
Okay. Doobie Brothers. And.
It's tough, huh?
Yeah. I think I might go. When I think about Pat Benatar, I think, hit me with you. That was such a great song.
Well, she had a bunch of really good songs. And
I think she might be my fifth choice.
I had such a crush on her.
Yeah, that's a good crush to have.
Back in the day. I still would now.
Well, speaking of one of your favorite bands, Rob Halford is fulfilling a dream, Fred.
Yeah?
This past month, he's been nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He's Grindr.
He released a Christmas album.
He's Grindr Looking for Meat.
Yeah. And
he's your turbo lover.
He has long had a dream to appear as a judge on your favorite television show, RuPaul's Drag Race.
That seems perfect for him.
His vision includes having all of the drag queens going on the air in full-on metal gear. He came out as gay in 1998, but has had little representation with gay media, most likely due to how the media still views metal as an inordinarily masculine scene. Halford hopes to break down this stereotype and enter gay media spaces while bringing the brutality of metal with him. He'll be publishing an autobiography in 2020 that will shed light on what it's like to be a gay man and a god of metal.
Well, I think I've told you this story before. They were one of my favorite bands growing up. And then when I found that out and went back and started listening to the lyrics again.
You started making out with dudes.
No, you realize, oh, okay.
It makes sense.
That's what those songs are about.
Yeah.
I should have known when he was covering Fleetwood Mac songs.
Yeah.
But, hey.
How much money do you think Joe Francis is worth these days? Joe Francis of Girls Gone Wild fame. I mean, now porn's everywhere, so it's hard to get by with, like, some college chicks just showing their boobs.
Yeah.
But I imagine he's still got a nice little nest egg he's built up over the years. Well, he was nearly taken in Mexico when several men with guns busted into a home, took everyone's money, and attempted to kidnap Joe and a group of his friends. TMZ says he was home at the time, or he was at the home of one of his neighbors in Punta Mita with about 20 other people when at least five armed men stormed in, threatening to take hostages. Law enforcement sources say that cops got an anonymous call that morning from another residence near Joe's claiming four suspicious-looking people were spotted near the home. Two patrol cars were sent to the scene, and military responded, but discarded masks and guns were found nearby. They were not able to get out with Francis. So, Francis. So that you're still in danger of getting kidnapped. I hope you don't get kidnapped in London, Fred.
I think we're okay in London.
All right. And that's Hoffman on Hollywood. We've got a little bit more, but Kelly Ripa talking about her son living in poverty at NYU. I thought that was a good one.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah.
We
got more tomorrow. More time tomorrow. We got a whole show to do tomorrow.
Yeah, another 3 hours. All right. Well, Thanks to Aaron. Good job back in studio. Thanks to Nick. Pretty good job out here. One fumble. That's an A-minus, not an A today.
We recovered the fumble, though.
Yeah, yeah. Basically.
Could have been worse. Yeah. I jumped on it. So I didn't try to score with it. I just fell on it.
Yeah, and then we scored on the next play. So it was all fine. Great job by Hoffman. I was okay today. Great job, Twin Peaks. Thanks for having us out. Hopefully we'll do this again. And until tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.